Hi, you've tuned in to the Lovely Travels podcast, where we talk about all things travel and adventure. My name is Emma Lovell, also known as Lovely, and I have a mission to visit every UN-recognised country in the world while raising awareness for mental health. Join me as we revisit some of my past adventures, speak to fellow travellers and interesting locals, all while following the journey to 195 countries. I'll be joined soon by my co-pilot, Darius, in Germany. And sometimes we're even going to hit the road together. Make sure to join in the adventure by following me on Instagram, Lovely Travels. You can also join our Facebook group, Lovely Travels Community, and learn more about us at the website, lovelytravels.com. But for now, it's listening time. Travel vicariously along with us.
Welcome back to the Lovely Travels podcast, everyone. This week, if you can believe it, we are joining two old friends, Emma and Jess, that met while serving ribs and margaritas back in the day at Arizona Steakhouse. They are reminiscing about their trip to Bolivia and Peru. In this episode, you will hear all about Lake Titicaca, which is always fun to say, and their multiple extremely hungover bus trips, just general confusion on Bolivian public transport, which I can relate to be honest. There is also altitude sickness and death road and salt flats and empanadas in no particular order. And just some travel tips on how to have a carefree adventure with good friends, in beautiful Bolivia. So strap in as we join Fangs and Whiskers reminiscing about Bolivia. Enjoy!
Welcome to the podcast, Jess.
Thanks, lovely Emma.
AKA Whiskers.
That's right.
My wolfy sister.
Yeah.
I always ask people how we know each other, so maybe explain how we know each other and why we're in a wolf pack.
Well, I'll explain the first part. And we worked at a steakhouse together years ago.
Yeah, Arizona.
Arizona, exactly. So what did we do? We made margaritas and served people ribs and danced on the bar every now and then.
And nachos.
Back in our youth.
And fun
fact. Is it 16 years ago, maybe?
More than
17.
That.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. We've known each other for more than half our lives. And the fun
my
thing.
My oldest, youngest friend.
I love being that. And actually, one of our former colleagues, Lee, was on episode number 41, the Trekking the PCT.
Oh, amazing. Oh, how good.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about Arizona on that one. So shout out to the no longer existing Arizona in Miranda, the Tex-Mex restaurant. But yeah, we've been friends ever since. And tell me a little bit about you. You're quite the intrepid traveler. You started a bit late though, didn't you, in life?
Oh, my traveling. Well, compared to you, I don't know. You started really young as well, probably.
Yeah, I think we
traveled
a lot.
You're more in India, and you'd already been seven times by the time I got to my early 20s. And what did I do? So I studied engineering at university, and then went to go work for a wind farm developer doing solar and wind. And I worked, I think, for a year or two, and then was like, okay. Time to go. I've saved a little bit of money. I'm not studying. And then I took off. So,
and you've been unstoppable ever since.
I've been unstoppable. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know. What have I done? Lived in Canada. Yep, exactly. Done the US, New Zealand, the UK. Was working in Glasgow for a little bit as well. Obviously, South America.
Yes.
So,
and most recently, your most recent new country was Mexico with me also.
It really was, yeah. Oh, yes. That was really very special to.
Sorry, I'm playing music.
Love it.
just trying to roll up the memories. No, I was
just, you're just popping into an elevator with a little bit of background music. Love it.
Yes, right. So you were mentioned on episode 27 and 31 with our wedding episodes. So
yeah, it was really, really special to be there for part of your elopement in Mexico and get to Tulum and go diving in the beautiful limestone caves as well and the cenotes that you told me so much about. So, yeah.
Oh, so awesome. Yeah. And then you originally, you're from the Shire.
I am. That's right. Exactly. Born and bred.
And still there.
Exactly. I was actually filling out a form for a license renewal the other day and, you know, it said, where's your place of birth? And I wrote Caringbah because I was born in Sutherland Hospital. And then it's like, where do you live now? And I wrote Caringbah South. And I was like, oh, my God.
It's a full circle.
Exactly. I'm like a homing pigeon. But I'm like, I swear I left. I've done a lot of travel. I lived overseas. I swear. But, yeah, like any good shy person, I'm flown back home to the nest, yeah.
And that's the thing about, yes, the Sutherland Shire has been mentioned quite a lot on this podcast as well because my co-host Darius and I went to school in Caringbah, actually.
Oh, yes, Caringbah all the way.
High. Yep. So we're planning to have our 200th. Now I'm talking about it like every episode. We want to have like our 200th episode or some sort of milestone episode, like record it at Caringbah High.
Oh, okay,
so,
nice.
So you can come and be in the audience and be like, yeah, I was on episode 60-something. So.
Sit in the quadrangle with a latte and a laptop and get podcasting. I love it.
Yeah, there you go. So, again, yes, we've got to return to our origins. But, yes, today I have invited you on because we went to Bolivia together.
We did, yeah.
Which was pretty random. I think a lot of travel you and I do is pretty like, want to do this? Sure, why not? Yep. And actually, our first overseas trip together was New Zealand, and that's where the wolf pack began. We are wolfy sisters, you must all know. Mm. I'm Fang Lovell, and this is Whiskers Picton. We were extraordinarily hungover in 2010 on our New Zealand ski trip and decided after – it was very much in the time of the hangover and that whole wolf pack quote was going around and we just thought that was funny and walked past a T-shirt shop and so what do? You get T-shirts made with the quote on the back.
I know, that's right. We were just tipsy and somebody said, I used to be part of a one-man wolf pack and then I met you girls and now there are three of us. And you're right, we do have and I think we like came up with a really long quote from the hangover that we asked the T-shirt guy to put on the shirt and he said, yeah, cool, I'll do that. And then he just shortened it to like one line, you know, because he's like, that's what will fit.
He's like, this will look good. And we're like, we're not about looking good.
Yeah.
We're about having a message. Like we have a message and a mission that we need to get out into the world. He found us very tedious. But anyway, I still 100%. Have my top. I think I actually have Emily's top too. So I have two of those tops.
I've got mine, yeah. All the printing's kind of peeling off a little bit. It's so well worn and faded and I love it.
11
It's another
years.
Wonderful travel memento that I keep, yeah.
But, yes, we're digressing again. So, anyway, that was our first trip. But then, yeah, Bolivia, I don't even know how that came to be. I was going to Machu Picchu on a trek with Black Dog Institute, so to raise money, and then I wanted to kick on in South America, and then I'd planned to meet with our friend Emily. We seemed to just keep gravitating back to each other. Emily was in New Zealand with us, and then I left Bolivia and went to the US to meet up with Em, and then Em came to Mexico for my wedding, so we've hung out a few times. This little wolf pack is continuing, but why? Do you remember why? How did we get onto the topic?
Well, I thought you were going to ask how did I end up there in Bolivia or Cusco? Because for me, I had just done a summer camp season. So I was a camp counselor and I was at the waterfront and, you know, we were doing wakeboarding and water skiing with the kids there. And then this was some travel at the end of the trip. So I wanted to go to Cusco and do Machu Picchu and I met another friend and did that. And then we reunited, as you say, in Cusco and traveled to Bolivia together.
I just can't remember. I must have been maybe like maybe I was posting about raising the money and you were sort of like, I'm going to or something.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the beauty of social media.
I'm going to Cusco.
It?
I was like, same. It was like, oh my God, let's meet up. How good.
Yes. So we caught up in Cusco in Peru. I don't know. Did we? Well, we obviously definitely had a plan to get to La Paz because mm-hmm. in Bolivia, because we both had to fly from there. But I don't know if we had much of a plan of how we were going to get from Peru to Bolivia. I think we kind of were like, surely you can do it.
yeah, that's right. Exactly. People do it. We'll figure it out when we get there.
And to be honest,
Spanish is fantastic. Not. I mean, you were quite good. For me, I was sort of a complete beginner in a way. But yeah, we did find our way there.
Well, and yeah, look, top tip: if you are going from Peru to Bolivia, do look into it a bit. I think we must have done something, but we had a few mishaps. There's this thing where when you buy a ticket, you go and buy the ticket, you go to a travel agent. It might have changed because online stuff is a lot better now. This is 2012. But you went to the ticket agent, you bought your ticket. What we didn't understand, or they didn't communicate, or miscommunication, whatever, was that you had to, what they gave you was like a receipt, and then you had to go back and pick up your ticket. And mm-hmm. so we got to our bus in Cusco at like stupid o'clock, something like 6 in the morning. And they were just like, no, this isn't your ticket. You need to get your ticket.
I was like,
what is stupid
system? We paid money and he had to be a bit of paper. So,
and so then we had to basically buy our tickets on the spot. I think we might have even had to get a later bus because of it. But it was, you know, as per usual with young people traveling antics, we'd had a big night. We're a little dusty. It's not the sort of stuff you want to deal with on route. And so can you remember? I'm trying to rack my brain. I remember the night so clearly, but I don't remember where we were. We caught a bus to somewhere. In Peru, we were still in Peru near Lake Titicaca. So we're on the Peruvian side of the Lake Titicaca. And we ended up having dinner with these like Chilean guys, like this massive, but I don't know where we were. We had this awesome night with this random group of people who were on a big motorcycle tour from Chile. Like, so I remember all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Exactly.
But
I
had no idea where we were.
I know what you mean. And they were doing an epic trip. It was like Che Guevara style. They were like motorbiking across South America.
Yes.
Which sounds amazing. Let's do that later, by the way. But yeah, no, I'd love to tell you where we were too.
I do.
And in a way, we did sort of meet people wherever we went, but
we did a boat trip while we were there too. It's all coming back to me now. Like, I'll go back through the photos. I can picture it. We did a boat trip on Lake Titicaca while we were there.
Yes.
Yes. And then we got the bus to Bolivia. And do you remember like we had to get off the bus and do the passport stuff?
I do remember that. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Which again, if you don't speak Spanish, and we were kind of sleepy, so hadn't heard the best of it, but I was able to go up to the guy and ask again, like, what's the instructions and get it. But there was this thing where you had to go first to the office on the Peruvian side. You don't get back on the bus. You have to walk over the country border into Bolivia, and then you have to get another little stampy in your passport.
Yeah, super clear.
you're in South America, like you are aware of your safety.
Yeah.
It's like, get off the bus and leave all your stuff.
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
And we're going to drive off, but don't worry, we'll meet you again. And you're kind of like, will you?
There was one. Was that when we were on the bus together? And it was in the because didn't we do like a bit of an overnight leg or a late night leg? And
yes,
it's black in the night, and they stopped us, and they were like, basically in Spanish, you know, and for me, I'm like, I don't know what they're saying, but it's like, everybody get out of the bus. And then we are just leaving all our stuff on the bus and then popping out of the bus and just all waiting by the side of the road. And they're like, okay, now everybody walk 20 meters up that way. And I'm like, oh my God, what's about to happen? Yeah. We're going to get shot in the desert for sure. And all it was just a sandy patch of the road. So they knew that if everybody had stayed on the bus would have got bogged. So they needed to just drive with the people not in the bus. So if we just walked up the road and popped back on, and I'm like, oh my God, I really just feel like if maybe that had been explained to us better, it would have been less
scary. Yeah. And this
terrifying.
And it happened to us numerous times. And it's just like massive tip for like South America, getting off transport, getting onto either another mode of transport or walking alongside your transport and then getting back on is like totally normal. Like where
it's totally normal. Yeah.
Like if you were on a direct thing, you're going from A to B and it stops, like it's very off-putting. And yes, it was in the middle of the night. It was an overnighter from Salar de Uyuni coming back from the salt flats to La Paz. And poor you had terrible altitude sickness. So
yes, I did. Yeah.
You were already feeling pretty rubbish. And then like, it was like so weird. You'd be okay on the bus. And then as soon as we got into the air, you just like the color sucked out of you and you just, your body went limp. It was really bizarre to watch.
That's so, because I was like, oh, I knew I was I was getting a lot better in Bolivia. I sort of copped the altitude sickness flying from Lima to Cusco, and then I was there, and then I met Sasha. I did Machu Picchu, and then we met up afterwards. By then I was getting a little bit better, so I'm like, oh, I feel like I was like in good spirits by the time I got to Bolivia. But no, for sure it was still kind of lingering.
Well, the thing about Bolivia is the whole country is so high up. Like La Paz is at 4,000 meters.
Yeah.
The main city is at 4,000 meters. So
yeah, it's huge.
If you're impacted by it, and I'd had a few people I'd experienced altitude sickness myself, and I'd done treks with people who'd had it, but I'd not seen it as severe as you had it. And it's like, it's so rapid and it's so debilitating.
It's pretty unpleasant thing to have. I mean, having said that, I think, you know, it's just the change going from, say, Lima to Cusco was 0 to 3,300.
Yes.
You know, 2 hours, and your body hasn't got that chance to acclimatize. So, you know, once we went to La Paz and it's above 4,000 meters, and I'd had more time and I had the altitude sickness medication, you know, for sure at some point I was like, oh, okay, like my body's getting used to this and I'm starting to feel good again. So, I mean, for me, I would 100% get the bus up if I was to go again from Lima to Cusco and just give my body more time to sort itself out.
Yeah. Big thing if people are flying straight into La Paz as well. Flying into 4,000 meters. And I just remember even in the hostel, we were in the hostel Loki, which was super fun.
Basically, it was fun. Yeah, it was a great place, yeah.
If it still exists, I should Google it. Go to La Paz for this hostel. Like it is, like we wish we had more time, like in the city, just to be there. It was so much fun. It was amazing. I think it must be. Oh, it looks like it's maybe a chain, but anyway, it was in Bolivia, La Paz, and I just remember walking up the stairs. Even in that hostel was hard work.
Yeah,
you're tired. You're just like, oh man, and like of course,
the altitude. Is it what we had to drink the night before? Probably both.
Column A, column B. So yes, after being in Lake Titicaca in Peru, we did the crossing of the border, and then we ended up in Copacabana, which is on the border, on the lakeside, Lake Titicaca. But the crazy thing about Lake Titicaca, it looks like the ocean, doesn't it?
Oh, it really does, yeah. You know what? And I was just reading back into my travel diary, reading that, you know, I'd spent a lot of time like in Lima and it was very foggy and I'd been away from Sydney for a while, starting to really miss the beach. And I wrote that once I finally got there and I could just see like blue skies and blue water, I felt a little bit at home. And there's like eucalyptus trees about too, which is something you don't expect. So yeah, like I've read my travel log and I was like, oh, I feel a little bit at home here. It's really nice.
And we didn't have much time in Copacabana. It was really like we were getting there, and then the place we wanted to go from there was Isla del Sol, which is the island of the sun on Lake Titicaca. But just what baffled me is because it's so big, like it looked like the ocean. Like it looked like it just went forever. Yeah. And Copacabana looks like a beachside town. And it just kept being like, oh, Copacabana. But it's probably not as tropical as
its namesake. Yeah.
And I remember getting there and having a meal, and we had lobo. Lobo is like this dish you get everywhere around that region, and it's like hot chips and then this meat, beef and capsicum and onion stuff on top, and then an egg on top of that.
God, it was good. Oh, it was like, you reminded me, I totally forgot about the lobo. Yum.
It was so carby and like heavy, and it was just basically was on the menu all the time. So you're like, oh yeah, I can have that. And I remember having it there and it was quite good. But yeah, we were
absolutely
just
genius. Yeah. And do you remember the slightly non-traditional meal that we had on Isla del Sol?
Oh yeah.
The ham and pineapple pizza.
Yes. But tell us
And they obviously hadn't had tin pineapple sitting around, or maybe they went to the supermarket and grabbed the wrong can, because we had like fruit salad on the pizza with pineapple and ham and glacé cherries and little peaches. I get it, they're a long way from your local, you know, corner store to go and fix a mistake. So
yeah, but it was
bon
like
appetit. We just enjoyed it. But yeah,
I did find that in South America as well, and a little bit I've found that in Mexico, like the thing that the way you know it, so you go, oh yeah, I'm having a pizza or I'm having a salad, and so you order it thinking of the way you know it from home or Western way, and then it comes out and it's not like that, and you're like, oh okay. Oh, okay. And you just had to remember, like, you kind of had to like measure your expectations of what the food was going to be.
But, oh, just stick to the lobo, like, you know.
Absolutely.
Locals know best, yeah.
It was like so meat, delicious. Veg and hot chips was kind of like a standard meal. Mm. But yeah, we were sitting there having a lovely chat with somebody, and we'd been down, we'd bought our tickets or whatever to go on the boat to go to the Isla del Sol. And then I don't know how it came, I said something to someone like, oh, we're going to go at this time. They're like, oh, it's already that time.
Oh, like, yes, I remember that.
And we're like, no, it's this time. And they're like, no, you've come from Peru. There's a time difference.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And it was just like this, you know, that like sinking, it was so awful.
It was awful.
And we'd been on a long bus, like they're huge distances, like you're on this overnight, they're pretty good buses, like you're pretty comfortable, but, you know, overnight bus, and we're just so lovely to be there. You think you're just going to get there and nah. And it was just, it was so gutting. And we raced down to the water, found a guy who had a boat, or I don't know if the guy was in the bar, same place, and had a boat, and was like the last way to get there for the day. So the second time we had to rebuy our ticket, and it's like, you know, you kind of like, okay, we learn our mistake. And then we found another way to make the mistake. Okay, so next time we'll make sure we buy the ticket, make sure we go pick up the ticket, and then we'll make sure we know the time difference. Like, okay, we've got it next time. Right, no more travel disasters.
There's no more unexpected things to pop up.
But for now, there's more.
There always is, yeah.
The boat ride was beautiful, and he was lovely. Like, I remember there was beautiful gunning over there, and, it, you know, once we'd sort of figured that out, you know, you relax again. You're like, okay, we're going to make this work. And then we got to the island, and there's two sides to the island, and in front of us was basically like just like a rock face, like a sheer cliff. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, yeah.
Just up. It was just up, and there was nothing you could do but up. because that's where all the accommodation was. Like, a lot in Bolivia, like, they love high things. They love going up.
Yeah.
And so you were struggling, you poor thing, with the altitude was going to get you.
Oh,
again.
Yeah. I do remember. Yeah.
We were so high. Like, Lake Titicaca's
little by little, yeah.
It's up at 3,000 meters or something. I'm going to do my rule I'm not supposed to do, which is Googling as I go.
Fact check.
Fun fact, Lake Titicaca is at an altitude of 12,500 feet, which is 3,800 meters.
Oh, yeah.
It's the world's highest lake. And so, yeah, so we're going onto an island with a hill already at 3,800 meters, and it was just brutal. Again, we've had a long day. We're just going up, and the lovely guy carried your bag.
Yes. What a sweetheart. Yeah.
I carried my I think by the end of it, when we got to the top, he was like, yeah, there's accommodation. Bye.
Exactly. And I was like, just give me a ham and pineapple pizza and make it all better.
I think it was even almost dark by the time we got up there too. It was just, it had been a massive day. But we stayed in a little lovely, little, everything's kind of little accommodation, quite basic, kind of a almost someone's back of their house type thing with a few rooms converted. And then, yeah, it was beautiful. Waking up there was beautiful, and that was our relaxation sort of time until June.
It was really nice.
Do you remember we went for a big bushwalk one day? A big walk?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know what. We just kept not learning. We went to the other side of the island, but then just did not take into account. And I think we got to the little beachy side and we like splashed in the water and then we're like, okay, let's go back. And it started to get dark. And so then we were using our phones as lights. It was, it was just, I think we had a guy we bumped into. I don't, we're very good at meeting people, you and I.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
We'll always meet people. So that was good. It was lovely. And then we went on to La Paz with the goal then of one other thing we really wanted to do while we're there was go to the salt flats. So the Sala de Uyuni. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think a lot of this was, we might have done a tiny bit of research, or if a lot of it was just hearsay, or as you go along, people go, oh, you got to go here, you got to go there.
It's like, go there to get the good photos.
Oh, yes.
The
yes.
good perspective photos, yeah.
Incredible photos. But yeah, so we got back to Copacabana. So we got our boat okay going back. But then we got to Copacabana and we bought our tickets. And I'd heard this from the guy, I remember now, we'd heard from the person that we chatted to in Copacabana when we first got there about the bus to La Paz, this crazy weird thing, which I posted in a group the other day, actually I was in a podcast group, that we had to get off the bus again. On the bus to La Paz, do you remember we went on a lake?
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I asked the question, and this is the thing, you have to ask very specific questions. I was like, is it a direct bus? And she's like, "See."
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, does the bus go straight to La Paz? See. Does the bus stop? We get off. The bus goes on a boat. We go on a separate boat across the lake, and then we go to La Paz. See.
So it's not a direct bus.
Yeah. Like, that's not like no es directo. Like that's not direct. You've got to tell someone that you got to get off the bus. Luckily we did know that time. But I got it, you know, I was like, okay, I'm gonna ask all the details. I'm gonna ask every question under the sun to make sure we know what we're supposed to be doing. But that was very bizarre sitting. I have a very vivid memory of sitting with you in my hoodie on that little ferry thing, watching our bus float next to us.
Yes.
And you're just like, how, like, it's amazing. Look, they make it work, but just like, and it wasn't really a boat. I would say it's like, it was a kind of a floating pontoon that our bus was on.
Yeah.
I think we took our stuff with us, which was probably smart.
Well, you feel a bit more secure that way for sure. Yeah.
And then we had to get to La Paz, and then again we had to wait another day, so we ended up at Loki, which was a godsend, and it was such a great place to stay. But I just remember trying to get the tickets. It was, I wonder now if going back now with heaps more internet and being able to book things online, I wonder if it would be easier.
I wonder, but I loved that part of traveling in South America where a lot of different accommodation providers don't put anything online and you just turn up somewhere and you walk down the main street and just wander into a hostel or a hotel and chat and find somewhere to stay. It was like going back in time a little bit. And La Paz is like that, isn't it? You know, you really feel like you're going back in time, you know, and because it's underdeveloped and but it feels real and authentic and I don't know. Yeah, maybe it would be easier, maybe it would, but it would take away from the charm of it, you know?
Yeah. And in a way, I think I found it harder because I was speaking the Spanish. And I remember like getting to the Salt Flats and being to you because I just remember sitting in the bus station before that as well and trying to work it out. And it is, I think it's just the nature of it. There is a lot of sitting around. There is a lot of waiting for connections. There is a lot of long trips. Like that's just, like it's just a big country and and things are a little more backward or a little bit more behind. They just don't have the technology, you know, and maybe in some ways there's like lower education levels and things like that, but or they don't have the setups or they just keep it basic and it's how it rolls. But I was getting extremely frustrated.
It's like whatever works, like we're on one ferry, the bus is on the other ferry, look, we all get there in the end, you know, it's cool. Yeah.
And for me, I was just real frustrated. I remember getting to Salt Flats and I was like, what am I doing wrong? Like I'm speaking the language, I'm asking the questions, like how do we keep having these things? And you're just like, it is what it is. And I was like, but, you know, I was like, I want to fix it. I got to fix it. Like, we've got to stop this. I mean, we wouldn't have all these hilarious, like, it's frustrating in the moment, but then there is such a lovely sense of, I don't know, relief, satisfaction, celebration when you work it out and then you get there. But I know that sometimes, like, when you're in it and you're tired and you're trying to make it work, you're just like, I just want to be at the place, doing the thing.
But
Salt
Flats
was a bit, well, we got the bus, so we had to organize that ourselves, but then we booked a trip once we got there, and that was really great, having the guided trip, because then they just took over, and I felt like that was really lovely, just being able to be like, yes, you take us to the place, please.
Yeah.
And show us all the good things, like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was, remarkable, the Salt Flats. And you said before about the photos. So, like, why is that so special, the photos?
Yeah, I mean, it's because what is it? It's just the perspective of the landscape means that you can make these amazing photo creations. You can jump up and it looks like you're so high in the sky, or, you know, you lean a Pringles can in the foreground of your photo and then everybody pretends to be propping it up and pushing it up like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And, it's bright blue sky behind white, you know, salt, and it's really cool. It's a bit of fun.
Endless, isn't it?
Yeah.
Again, it's like, I don't know, I'm not looking at the map or anything, but it feels like Bolivia is like a really big country or just has these really unique ecosystems and space, really, like
It is super unique. And the Salt Flats too had those beautiful little, and that's the last thing you expect to see there is a little flamingos, little pink ones, and they're kind of like pink on the top and they put their wings up and they're bright red underneath, and you're just like, oh wow, okay, how'd you guys get here, you know?
It was so beautiful. Cool. Mm-hmm. And before we left the main town, which might even be a uni, we went to like an abandoned like train station place, and we were and they'd all been like graffitied, and we were like climbing over these carriages, and we were with those guys. So we had two Argentinians, two Chileans, and an English guy on our trip.
Yeah,
and they were doing like this circus. I don't know why they had they kind of were juggling stuff, and we were just
they had juggling pins, didn't they? That's right. So we were kind of like trying to juggle in front of these wrecked trains in the middle of the desert, and It was, it was a bit of fun for sure.
So random. And then when we got to, wouldn't even know the name. This is so rubbish. But there was like this like rainbow kind of multicolored mountain that we slept at the base of. That's where we spent the night. Mm-hmm. It was like pinks and oranges and purples, and we had the flamingos at the side, and then we had there were some alpacas guarding some sheep because that's what they do. They guard. That was the first time I encountered guard alpacas, but they apparently are very good guard animals, and they were guarding some sheep. And we just went up this mountain a little bit and just looked back over the just white everywhere. It was really very magical. And then on the way back, the second day, we went to, and I'll see if you remember, I wouldn't have known the name had I not looked it up, but the Isla Inca Huasi.
Is this the cactus island?
Yes. Which again was just, and I just think it's like, it's just so, the photos, right? It was just so incredible.
Yeah, really. It was really cool. Yeah.
Driving up in the middle of like white, nothing. And then, oh, an island of cactuses.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, true. Okay. Yeah.
Just walk around, you guys, and take photos of the cactus. Okay. Pick you up when you're done.
Yeah.
But we were lucky on the second day because our driver was heaps better at taking photos.
Mm.
He did that photo that I'll probably put as our cover photo for this episode, which was us jumping.
Oh, was it both of us jumping so high? Yes. Love this photo.
He was like, okay, you go there, okay, and then I'll go down here, and like lying on the ground.
And we like get down low, get the good perspective, make us look like we're jumping really high.
And he was so quick as well. He's like, okay, now you, okay, done. Get back in the car. We have to go. Like,
okay.
Okay. Yeah, we did it. And just like awesome photos, but and then we went back to La Paz, and that was when we got to explore a little bit. And do you remember much of the city?
It's a really, it's like a, I don't know, there's all these beautiful brick buildings everywhere, aren't they? And they kind of come up these, not escarpment, but it's like rolling hills throughout the city. So it's like the whole city's on display for you, and it's got that cool cable car that goes through the middle, and it's just because it's steep enough that people need it to get to work. As I say, I really did feel like, you know, it looked like people were dressing really traditionally and not for the tourists. It's just, you know, it's authentic, and I really liked that about it.
Yeah. I loved the graffiti in La Paz. They had some really awesome graffiti, very modern. So, yeah, you've got like that kind of mix of the traditional, and then you've got these super modern graffiti around the city. And there was at the hostel, like, there were quite a few people, and this probably happens at hostels anyway, but there were quite a few people there who the staff who had been like, yeah, I came for 4 days and it's been 4 months.
Oh yeah,
and they were just living in La Paz and just having, you know, loving life there. And there's a famous thing there, not? Which yeah, we didn't do, and I probably wouldn't do, but it's the Death Road.
Yes, didn't do it, but friends have done it and they loved it.
Yeah, so you can ride a bike. I think people skateboard. I don't know. It's pretty. It's like this. Yeah,
but you can skateboard down it. Yeah, people. Yeah, mostly people mountain bike down it. It used to be like just a major artery in the road network, wasn't it? It was like getting from point A to point B, to the point where I guess enough cars and trucks toppled over the edge, or it disintegrated enough that they were like, okay, no, it's just a mountain bike trail now.
Mm. Yeah, and they're saying it draws like 25,000 tourists a year, and it's downhill mountain biking, and it's just this, people, you know, even like Top Gear and stuff have been there. It's just this well-known dangerous road, and that people want to go and experience. And I didn't. I was fine with that. Yeah. I was like, okay, cool. I think we've been on enough, you know, after like kind of going on buses and stuff. I was like, I've been on quite a few what I'd call dangerous roads, and I went on.
Yeah, I felt like I was on quite a lot of windy roads just traveling around South America, looking down the edge like, oh my god, it's a long way down. So again, I also got my thrill.
We've had enough of us.
Yeah, exactly.
Was there any other food that you really enjoyed while we were there, like anything that you can remember?
Oh, I mean, my favorite food in South America was in Cusco, which is not this episode. It was the picarones. They're like these little fluffy donuts that they would cook, and then, you know, and then just the, what are the beef skewers that you would get, but it's the heart, you know, and I was like, oh, no, I won't eat heart. Oh, but this is delicious. So those little skewers that you get kind of like on the side of the road. But, yeah.
Ah, yeah. I don't remember those, but I do
remember.
What
about you? Do you have, yeah.
For me, I love empanadas. So,
Yes. It's traditional Bolivian.
Yeah. It's very South American, but they had these little ones. So empanadas are like it's sort of like a pastry, like a Cornish pastry, people might know them as, or like a pocket. So dough, and then you stuff it inside with like mince or chicken mince or some potatoes and peas, and just like a hearty little snack. And people, they would have like street food little vendors, and, you know, you'd see people lining up, and that would be like their lunch or, you know, work snack. And that felt very like, oh, yeah, I'm being a local. I'm going to go get an empanada. So, yeah, I enjoyed that.
They do snack so well, I'd say, you know. I think Peru and Bolivia, you can just pop on the side of the road and grab something delicious on the way.
And I felt like I didn't get sick or anything. I felt like the food was pretty safe. And like I said, I think.
No, me neither, yeah.
With that, like, meat, veg, hot chips, like you would find after you've been to a few restaurants, and like you're saying, Peru and Bolivia, like you would find the sort of same stuff. So like you would always find lobo on the menu. You always find like potentially alpaca meat, and then hot chips and veg, and like you sort of have these steak. Pizza was probably on the menu if that's something you dig. Like you kind of got used to what was there, and you're like, okay. So yeah, going to those smaller little street stalls or something would get you that maybe a bit more authentic food, because a lot of the restaurants
They were really cool by the side of the road.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have platanon? You know, it's like the plantain, and it sort of looks like a banana but tastes like a potato, and that would be like a carb that's on the side of your plate.
Yeah.
Meat and rice, and that was delicious. I really like that.
Yeah, rice and beans. You don't really get well.
Yeah.
That's the sort of, because, you know, it is does tend to be lower socioeconomic, so the meals are quite hearty. You're probably feeding a lot of people, so you'd have that sort of filler on the side of your meal. You'll often get that on, and yeah, I enjoyed that.
Many different types of salsa and relishes, you know, like the green and the red and the yellow and the orange, you know, like all these beautiful chilies that you could get as well.
Yes, I would. You have to, yeah. Check your temps with your chili. Try a little bit before you put lots on. They'll get you the spices.
Green is the spiciest from memory.
Yes,
which is green. Bit, yeah,
a bit wacky, but
it is.
I mean,
did we talk about coca tea?
Oh no,
not yet. No, you can come to that.
Yeah, no, please share about the coca tea. It's not my fave.
I think it tastes a little bit like green tea, but. You know, it's really quite a traditional drink, isn't it, South America? And it is made from cocaine leaves, but it doesn't have, you know, we're making the tea. It's not a high dose of, you know, drugs that you're getting. It's like having caffeine. It's just a little buzz that you get from drinking the tea. And when I got altitude sickness, that's the first thing every local said. They're like, okay, you're not feeling well, get on the coca tea, you're going to feel much better. So I did get altitude sickness tablets and have tea, and I did feel better. So,
and you can also chew the coca leaves, which is a bit stronger flavor.
But it worked, don't they? It's just like, you know, you're just eating the coffee as you're like chewing the leaves. It's kind of same.
It's sort of like, I feel like it's sort of like it does like mellow you out a little bit. But for me, when I had it, and it could have been just sleep exhaustion, but I had it on the Oxfam Trail Walker. My friend's husband is Peruvian, so they have coca tea. And so he gave us some of that, and I found that I was like a bit woo-woo after. I don't know. I think it was probably a bit more the sleep deprivation than, right, than the tea. But I've been slightly turned off since. It does have quite a strong flavour. Like, I think it depends how much leaves they put in it and how long you brew it for and all that stuff. But, yeah, it's quite a earthy taste, I found.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But green tea. It is, can be very handy. So if you are experienced, there's the altitude sickness. If you haven't got Diamox with you, which is one of the main medications, obviously check with your doctor, see a doctor before you do any of this stuff. But pretty traditional remedy is the coca tea.
Mm.
Which is a good tip. And we've talked about a few of our lessons, but was there any other lessons you learned or things you would say to people who are traveling to Bolivia to keep in mind?
Oh, look, I don't know. I just think do it. It's amazing, you know. And we were both, we met up and traveled together. We traveled separately. You know, I traveled as a single female across South America and it was safe and I had the best time and there are wonderful things to see. So the sketchiest thing that happened to me, well, maybe not even sketchy, but I did. So did you fly out of La Paz? I can't remember. Jog my memory.
Yes, I did. A massive night. you went to bed a bit before me. I came in at 4 and it was probably one of the most brutal hangovers, and I think I had to get 3 flights to get to met Emily in Mexico. Actually, yeah. We went to Mexico and then Texas, and I met her in Mexico City, and I was
rough. Mexico Captain Dates. Okay, yeah,
rough.
3 flights on a hangover, awesome. So I got the bus back to Cusco, and then I went into the jungle like I did my volunteer in the Amazon thing after. But on that bus, I was on the bus, and then you know a lady in traditional gown popped onto the bus at the next stop, and then came and got this giant bag of coca leaves and just smiled at me the biggest smile and stuffed them all under my seat. And I was like, what she's doing? What the hell's going on here? I think the story is that there's only so many coca leaves that you can transport across the border from Bolivia to Peru. And that's why people just kind of smuggle it in and off they go. And it's obviously a drug-related restriction. But I was like, oh, my God, am I about to get sprung with a whole bunch of something illegal under my seat? I don't know. So what did I do? Nothing. I just got out. Before I got out in Cusco, the lady popped back and took it, and that was it. Nothing bad happened, but, yeah.
Okay.
So again, so many moments on the bus of just wondering, like, what's happening now?
Yeah.
We're on a ferry, we're off a ferry, we're walking through sand, and there's possibly drugs under my seat. I don't know.
Yeah, it's, the buses in themselves are a travel experience. And, so check your tickets, ask questions. If you can get a bit of Spanish before you go, like it does help even to be able to read something or to get some keywords, I'm sure. Like, and as you went along, I know you got more and more, which was really helpful. Mm. It doesn't mean that, you know, like I said, I speak Spanish pretty well. We still ran into hurdles. So I think it's just, you know, like you said, it's part of the adventure and I probably
absolutely
need to let go a little bit. And yeah, like, you know, that the unknown and that, you know, I think as well, I'd say, and probably where my frustration came from was we had a short time frame and we really had to be in certain places at certain times. So if you can have a bit more of an open schedule or have a few weeks, and I think a lot of people do tend to do that, go to South America for a few months. Like if you have a bit more leeway, then you're not going to be as worried if you miss stuff and, you know, mess up a bus or whatever. You just go, oh yeah, where are we going to go today?
Mm. It was so short and sweet though. We kind of packed a lot of things into a short amount of time and
we really loved it.
I read a quote once and it said, adventure is just poor planning. I'm like, oh, what? Oh, yeah, maybe.
We had an adventure. We nailed it.
I feel like time and time again.
Some of the listeners would be like, especially one of my friends, Danielle, who's been on a couple of episodes, I feel like this episode would be giving her a bit of a heart attack. What are you doing? So appeal to the adventurer in you. Yes. Let go. Go with the flow. You know. Laugh it off. Let strangers show you their kindness. Like that's probably the lesson we got just over and over again, the kindness of people and, money that we, if we made a mistake, the money was very inconsequential, we're very fortunate, but $10, $20 here or there, or, whoopsie, $40, we've got to buy another $40. Okay. So our bad, it wasn't crazy. I mean, me nearly missing my flight out of Bolivia to Mexico.
That would be more expensive, yeah.
That would have been pretty problematic. But
on a hangover would be pretty unfortunate, yeah.
That would have been pretty rough. But, you live, you learn. You're only 25. I was 25.
It was a great I was time. 28, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
2012, yeah. It's almost 10 years ago.
So, yeah, I'm super keen. I have only been to Peru and Bolivia in South America, so I'm super keen to get back. And so anytime you want to go, Jess.
Sign me up, Patagonia. I need to get there. I want to get the steak and the wine in Argentina, Brazil, Rio. So 100%.
Yes. So Bolivia, absolutely highly recommend. I think over time I used to give a lot of warnings about it and be like, make sure you do this and make sure you do that. But you have really helped to change my perspective. And I think over time it's like, yeah, just take the blessings and the beauty and the amazingness and just accept that, yeah, it's all part of the travel. It's part of the adventure.
The adventure, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You get a really good, get really, really, really funny stories. we got a podcast. So I'm not sure if this has been helpful for anyone, but we've had a great time.
Exactly. Yeah.
So thank you so much for joining us, Jess. And
thanks for having me. It's so nice to reminisce, especially when I'm in lockdown and, we can travel in the mind and it's really nice. It feels like we've been on a little adventure reminiscing.
Yes, we will travel vicariously through our beautiful memories. And,
yes.
I'm sure we will set a goal of getting back to South America and we'll do some episodes live because this thing is just going to keep going forever.
So. Amazing. Great plan.
Thank you, Wolfie. You're just the best.
Thanks, lovely.
Bye.
Arrow.
Thanks for listening, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Already looking forward to the next one. We also have a rather extensive back catalogue for you to check out. But in the meantime, you can follow us on Instagram. That's at Lovely Travels on Instagram.
Or you can come and check us out on Facebook, Lovely Travels. That's LOVELLY. Or we would love for you to join our Facebook community with more than 500 members talking all things travel and adventure. That's the Lovely Travels community.
You can also visit our website, which is lovelytravels.com.
Or shoot us an email. We love hearing from our listeners. So please send us an email, feedback, comments, questions, whatever. info@lovelytravels.com.
And you can listen, review, subscribe, like, share, and promote our podcast in any shape, way, or form. We are on Spotify, iTunes, the internet, Google Podcasts, everywhere where you get podcasts, you will find us.
All good podcasting locations. So tune in next time, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you then.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.